hurricane coverage. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will provide you with the latest forecasts and warnings from the National Hurricane Center. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will help you find resources for disaster relief. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will interview experts on hurricane preparedness and safety. No one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I see the crystal raindrops fall, and the beauty of it all is when the sun comes shining through to make those rainbows in my mind. When I think of you sometime, and I want to spend some time with you, just the two of us, we can make it if we try.
Some people in the media, some people on certain political persuasions that just dismiss it as kind of a Texas problem or an Arizona problem. But I'm here to tell you, when you don't have control of your own border, that's an American problem.
I like how he makes it sound like politics is sort of like sexual identity, you know. You know, like, isn't that how we used to always say it? Well, they're just of a little different persuasion, right? That used to be kind of the code lingo for somebody who was gay as well. You know, they're just a different persuasion. You know, some people have certain political persuasions, you know. So, you know, they just find themselves uncontrollably attracted to socialism. You know, that's all there is to it. It's probably born with it. Anyway, so, you know, the governor has been at the border the last yesterday, and it's kind of interesting to hear some of the things. He's come up with a whole plan, a big, long, comprehensive plan about what he wants to do differently when it comes to handling the border.
This whole thing about asylum, there are legitimate reasons why someone would need asylum, and there have been throughout American history. But what you're seeing now is an abuse of asylum.
Absolutely. And I'm glad he said that, because it's the kind of thing that, I don't know, sometimes gets lost in the conversation. The elements about immigration are not all or nothing. There's some truth or some value, but it gets misused or abused or exaggerated. And asylum is a good example of that. You know, the idea of granting people asylum for persecution, particularly for political persecution in their home countries, that's an important American principle, because our country was founded on people who were seeking to avoid persecution and other things as well. We sometimes oversell that narrative, but still, that was a key part of what founded this country, and the belief that people ought to be free to express their religious and political views, that if they're leaving a country because of political or religious oppression, we're glad to have them here. You know, this is the place in the world where you can come and be free from all of that. And so don't ever put yourself in a position when you're talking about immigration of forgetting that, okay? But unfortunately, under the guise of asylum, which in general, you know, as a guiding principle is a good one, we have allowed the asylum policy, the way it gets used, to become a source of great abuse for immigration.
I mean, just think about it. If you're fleeing a country, what you're supposed to do is the first time you get to safety, you claim asylum wherever that is. Instead, we've got people coming from South America, traveling through all these other countries, showing up at our southern border, entering illegally, and then claiming asylum here. That's not the way it works.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, if somebody's coming from South America, they don't need to get to the United States in order to achieve asylum. They just need to get one country away. And in fact, you know, historically, when you're looking at refugees of any kind, particularly political refugees, that, you know, you kind of are hoping, ideally, to keep them close by. The reason you want them one country away is because if things ever turn or change within their home country, you want them to be able to go back easily, partially so that they can return to their home country, but also because they're going to be a key source of, you know, progress and stability in a country that goes through the tumultuous changes of becoming the kind of place that they would want to return to. You want those repatriated folks to be able to restore the culture of that country if it ever becomes healthy again. So you don't want refugees or asylum seekers to go all that far. You want them to be able to be close to their home country. But of course, you know, we bring them, you know, we allow them to come here, and then we put them on the inside of the country, and we say, wait for your adjudication, which may never come. And it's a crazy policy the way it's put in place right now.
And to the extent you have some that are adjudicated, people can wait in Mexico for that adjudication. You don't come to the interior of the country and get a free pass. It's a lot less appetizing to make a trip like that, knowing you don't qualify in the first place, and you're going to have to wait on the other side of the border before you get a decision. You will see it dry up in terms of the number of people that will want to come.
Yeah, and also, of course, the basic ability of people to just plain claim it under all circumstances, that's crazy. That can't be. It's insane to think that all of these people deserve asylum or even should, you know, be allowed to claim it. So he says, make them wait in Mexico while they're having this adjudicated, which makes all the sense in the world because Mexico is not the place they're fleeing. Mexico's unwillingness to really help in this problem has been a part of the problem, and making them stay outside of the border while you figure out whether they deserve or qualify for asylum, that's the right thing to do. Now, he also says, look, this is fundamentally, I wish he had done more talking about this yesterday, but he didn't. He did sort of what he did, which is, I wish he would talk more about this concept of whether states have a right to prevent illegal immigration into their state. Because the argument goes something like this. This I remember when we were doing, what was the name of the bill now? I can't remember. It's been, 15 years, but maybe more. When I lived in Arizona, and we had a fairly controversial bill at the time that got passed that the national news called it the, like, stop and frisk bill, you know, the papers, please bill. But the idea was that, you know, Arizona was going to start enforcing the immigration laws in terms of at least, you know, having appropriate identification. And the feds basically shut it down saying, that's a federal law, that's federal enforcement, it's up to us, not up to you. Well, the basic problem of that view, even though I think under current law that might be right, philosophically that's completely wrong. Because the United States government doesn't have original authority over this territory we call the United States. The states do. You know, Texas is a philosophically prior political entity to the United States. Because after all, it is the United States of America. Without the states, you can't have our country. So the states pre-exist. I mean, I know this is kind of obvious, but it's something that people don't talk about very much often enough. And, you know, it was the states that then formed the national government and gave their consent to form the national government and gave, under the Constitution, powers to the federal government, only the powers that it gave away. So states pre-exist the federal government, and that's important because when it comes to border enforcement, does Texas have the right to control its border with other any other political? And the answer is yes, okay? But when it comes to other states, Texas has made an agreement. We won't enforce our border when it comes to Florida, okay, or Oklahoma, because we want interstate commerce within the United States. So Texas does not have any more authority to control its northern and eastern and western borders because it granted that away under the Constitution to create interstate commerce. It didn't grant away the power to control its southern border. That's not something that it granted away power to do. So yes, of course. And if the federal government fails in its policy, its prerogative, to control the national border, well, then Texas isn't just subject to the failure of the federal government. Texas can take action on its own. That's kind of the idea of immigration, is that it started with the state boundaries, and then we gave power for enforcement, a lot of that, to the federal government. But if the federal government won't enforce, won't control, are we just helpless? Well, that's the argument. That's the question, really, that states like Texas and Florida and Arizona have been asking for a long time.
But what I think needs to happen is, if the federal government won't do its job, the states should be permitted to send people back. That is what you need to do.
And again, as a matter of what does the law currently say, that's not what I'm getting at. I'm getting at what was the idea of the Constitution, what was the idea of states when this all first started, and that's what he's getting at as well. If the federal government just completely refuses to control the border, well, what recourse do you have? Well, so he says things like, look, we need to build the wall, obviously. We need to designate cartels as in transnational terror organizations. You know, we need to decrease the number of incentives that exist here for people to you know, it's they sometimes call it the magnet, okay? The things that are more appealing just about being present as a person inside the United States than about being present as a person inside of, you know, El Salvador or Guatemala or Cuba or Mexico. And so we need to decrease those incentives.
Yeah, you go back like 100 years, 120 years, people would come. A lot of people were very poor back then. They would come, but there was no taxpayer programs. So if you came to America, you know, you had two nickels to rub together, like you better work, you better figure out what you're going to do, you better have a plan to make it. And actually, if you came to someplace like Ellis Island and you were considered a public charge, they would send you back. They wouldn't even let you into this country if they thought you were going to somehow be a burden to the community or a burden to the state in any way. And I think that that's really, you know, the way it should be. Why would you want to say, come to America to get on programs? No, people have come legally to America, not because they wanted to get on a program, it's because they wanted to live in freedom and they wanted to have an opportunity to do well. And that's what we've got to get back to in this country.
And that's exactly right. If you want, and we do, we really do, we want people to come here to be productive, to work, to contribute to our economy, not to come here to be a drain on the economy, whether it comes through, you know, if crime can be a drain. Education is kind of a squishy one because the value of education is producing citizens who will then contribute to the economy. So that's more of an investment. But for example, medical care or social safety net care, like for poverty or Medicaid or Social Security or any of those things, differing ones are relevant to this question in different ways. But those are food stamps, for example. Those aren't investments. Those are we help people because they're suffering. Well, if people come here to get those things and they net cost us and that's not good for, that's why we don't want them. So, or we don't want them under those circumstances. But if they don't have those social safety net kinds of things available and they only come here if they're going to be productive, well, great, as many as possible. That's why some of the, you know, expertise and work qualification sort of visa programs are a good thing because, you know, do you think India and, you know, Pakistan want to lose their best and brightest to the United States? No, they hate it every day. You know, so we want to take the workers. We want to take the creators, the innovators. That's good for us as an economy. But the big thing that made news yesterday, I mean, I don't know that it's necessarily a huge announcement. It's not the first person who said it. But it was a part of his plan. And this was kind of the headline surrounding Governor DeSantis yesterday.
We also need to remove the incentives to come illegally to begin with. And that means employment. That means taxpayer financed benefit. It also means this idea that you can come across the border 2 days later, have a child, and somehow that's an American citizen. That was not the original understanding of the 14th Amendment. And so we'll take action to force a clarification of that. But I think it's wrong that people would use our country for things like birth tourism. So we're going to be removing the incentives to come into this country illegally.
Yeah, birthright citizenship, as it's called, has sort of long been one of these questions that Trump had raised before and others had raised before as well of, is that what we should allow in particular cases where people come here illegally? You know, as far as, you know, you were born here because your parents have lived here for their whole lives, your parents are citizens, of course, no problem. Okay, no problem. Although, I mean, you know, you could have a good conversation about what should be the criteria for citizenship, and birth on the land isn't automatically the best answer. There's actually a fairly good conversation to be had about this. But, okay, let's say that for most cases, that's what we're going to have. You're born here, you're a citizen. Fine, easy. What about people who illegally come here, especially if they're here for only a very short period of time? Should their children, when they're born here, you know, 3 days in, 5 days in, a year in, okay, should those people be granted citizenship? And again, the premise here is you don't have to have citizenship for everybody. You know, you could have citizens and non-citizens, okay? Should those people have citizenship? Should that be given to them as a birthright, even though their parents came here in a way that's illegal? Well, that's a good question. And I don't think the answer is obvious. I mean, that's also an interesting conversation. But he says we need to look at that because right now that's the law. But there's a long history of examining that law and what it meant. And, you know, there's some old cases that are relevant here. So I think it's interesting that he's bringing up this question. We'll see, you know, to what degree the president, if he gets elected, has the ability to shape the answer to that question. But that was the news yesterday, is that he says he wants to at least change our current understanding of birthright citizenship when it comes to people who are here illegally. 524 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
For adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy, now there's Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months, and Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Nothing in me go hand in hand. Nothing on my skin, that's my new play.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, you could achieve 90% clearer skin. Ask your doctor about the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis and visit SkyRizzi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZZI to learn more.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Party down with a big bang. Shelton Fireworks has been in business for over 40 years. Located on I-10, exit 53, the first Alabama exit, Robertsdale, Alabama. Shelton sends the world's largest selection with over 35,000 square feet of fireworks, the largest finale cakes, and the largest mortars legal in the USA. If it goes boom, Shelton's has got it. Located on I-10, exit 53, the first Alabama exit, Robertsdale, Alabama. For more info, go to sheltonfireworks.com, home of the big ones.
We're committed to providing you with the latest and most accurate information during hurricane season. So tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest updates and stay safe.
What the hell are you?
Good morning, 527 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, wicked hot. This heat we're expecting today and tomorrow and the next day and the day after that, it's really bad. We're actually under heat advisory. We're looking at, with the heat index, pushing 114 today in Pensacola.
Oh, God.
Just in case you were wondering, how bad is it going to be? Now, that's not the raw temperature. You know, the raw temperature isn't going to be.
I'm going to need hazard pay, even though we're
inside. What's that now?
I'm going to need hazard pay,
even
though we're inside.
Yeah, even though it's not going to be 100 in real temperature, but, you know, humidity. Which makes the air more dense, therefore harder for your body to adapt to the temperature. So it feels a whole lot hotter than it really is. And like I said, you know, this is a day to stay inside, enjoy the air, and not do too much. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Jurors in the case of convicted Tree of Life synagogue shooter Robert Bowers will continue hearing testimony in the penalty phase of his trial today. Bowers was convicted earlier this month. The jury will have to decide if he's eligible for the death penalty. Dr. Anthony Fauci reportedly joining the faculty at Georgetown University. The school announced Monday he'll be named as a distinguished professor at Georgetown School of Medicine. And former President Trump claims that special counsel Jack Smith illegally leaked and spun an audio recording of him discussing classified documents.
Yeah, I just found, isn't that amazing? This totally wins my case, you know. Mm-hmm. Except it is like highly confidential, secret. This is secret information.
And CNN released that audio tape yesterday, right after Trump got on Truth Social. He said the recording is actually an exoneration.
Here's the totally not declassified document about our totally top secret invasion plans for Iran that I'm waving around in the room. See? See? Proves I'm innocent. The what now? Okay. Look. Look up in the sky. The sky is orange. Wait, it's purple. Definitely not blue. Definitely not blue. 529 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. By the way, I've been looking at the National Weather Service. They have... I don't know what their actual list of the warning is for today, because they have several different maps that all came out within the last 10 minutes, and they're all kind of conflicting with each other. So as far as whether we under a severe heat advisory or index, or, you know, it's going to be very, very hot today, especially south of I-10 in Santa Rosa and Escambia County. But again, today, very hot. Stay out of the outside. Be indoors in the air conditioning if you possibly can. David Wayne will have your local news coming up next after Fox.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop. A fallout from the Hunter Biden probe and what Republicans call a sweetheart deal from the Department of Justice in his tax and gun case. House Oversight Committee Chair Jim Jordan.
We will continue to focus on the Justice Department. So we want to talk to David Weiss. We want to talk to Mr. Estrada. We want to talk to Leslie Wolf. We want to talk to all these U.S. attorneys and say, why did you do it this way?
A Republican on Jesse Waters primetime, President Biden tells Fox's Jackie Heinrich he did not lie about his claims of never talking business with Hunter, despite the Republicans' claim of mounting evidence. Case closed in Russia. The Federal Security Service says its investigation found that those involved in the mutiny ceased activities directed at committing the crime, meaning no charges for the mercenary chief Yevgeny Prigozhin and the others involved in the attempted mini-mutiny that didn't take hold over the weekend. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Already a hot one. We've got 78 degrees this morning in Pensacola. Congressman Matt Gaetz says the ATF is being weaponized against FFL firearm dealers. A congressional field hearing was held yesterday in Okaloosa County. Gulf Coast Guns' Chris Smith said his business was recently audited by the ATF. He said it felt like they might have been being targeted.
On the very first day of the audit, we overheard them say, I bet they aren't laughing at us on Facebook now. They were clearly making references to several posts made on Halloween 1 year prior, where we put on T-shirts labeled ATF and FBI and told everyone we dressed up as the scariest thing we could think of this year. They were clearly stalking our social media accounts. Luckily for us, having a sense of humor isn't illegal yet, but that doesn't mean they can't harass us.
And Smith went on to tell Gaetz and other lawmakers that the audits drove away customers, made all of his employees worry about their future. Several U.S. representatives were on hand for the testimony. Governor Ron DeSantis says he'll reinstate the Trump policy of remain in Mexico if he's elected president.
It's a lot less appetizing to make a trip like that, knowing you don't qualify in the first place and you're going to have to wait on the other side of the border before you get a decision.
DeSantis visited the Texas border. He was in Eagle Pass yesterday. The policy would not allow claims of asylum between the ports of entry. DeSantis also wants to give individual states the power to deport illegal immigrants. That deadly ferry collision involving a ferry boat in Miami-Dade County could lead to criminal charges. The FWC announced yesterday that an arrest is pending in the boat collision that closed Port Miami for about 12 hours over the weekend. A 32-foot boat sank after colliding with the ferry boat. Cutler Bay 27-year-old Christian Bay Fernandez was killed. 29-year-old Hialeah man is currently in serious condition right now. No word on who the FWC could be arresting. Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody says she wants to protect Florida residents from falling victim to car buying scams.
Do your research before you buy a car. Make sure that the dealer is reputable. You can go online. Oftentimes you will be able to see if there are reports that someone has represented false vehicles or sold stolen vehicles.
And Moody says that people should always make sure that the seller's name is actually on the title before they buy a car. Do their research. Make sure the dealer is legitimate. There was a big bust yesterday. FDLE agents say they made over 20 arrests in connection to a car theft ring based out of Tampa. The suspects were targeting high-end dealerships, buying cars using fake IDs, and then selling those vehicles with fake VIN numbers and temporary tags. 534, it's News Radio 92.3.
Mostly sunny skies today with a small chance of an afternoon shower. Otherwise, very hot, highs near 95 degrees with feels like temperatures in the triple digits. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 79 degrees. Hot, humid weather continues for your Wednesday with a 20% chance of rain, high near 94. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 77. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 78 in Pensacola, 80 in Gulf Breeze, 78 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Now it's time for another tip from ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
Do you know the impact video has in the minds of your future customer? In today's world, the average person consumes up to 6 hours of video a day. That is 25% of their time. If that large of a segment of their day is spent watching video, what's your company doing to create consumable content? Does your marketing and advertising strategy reflect appearing where they're watching this content? If it doesn't yet, it will soon. We are ADX Digital, and we help businesses leverage the power of video by putting brands just like yours in front of consumers using a wide variety of video marketing strategies, including social media mirroring, OTT, Amazon, video pre-roll, YouTube, Facebook and Instagram, and more. Ready to learn how we can do this for you? Email me today at connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com. That's connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com.
ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
This is Paul Epstein with Running Wild. Join me tomorrow at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Discover why we at Running Wild are the running and fitness experts in the Pensacola and Fairhope communities, specializing in fitting you in the best shoe, apparel, and training for your unique needs. We pride ourselves on serving, training, and encouraging you to reach your goals. So bring your questions tomorrow at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hi, this is Rear Admiral Kyle Kozed, President and CEO of the Naval Aviation Museum Foundation. You are cleared for takeoff at the National Naval Aviation Museum. Before you embark on a day filled with family, friendly fun, and inspirational experiences, don't forget your pre-flight checklist. Flight simulators, 150 beautifully restored aircraft, a virtual flight deck, giant screen theater, world-class guides with service experience, gripping history, and rip-roaring out-of-this-world fun await you at the newly reopened National Naval Aviation Museum.
Text alerts are a great way to stay informed and connected. They're quick, easy, and convenient.
So what are you waiting for?
Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
Good morning, 538 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Super hot today. We're under excessive heat warning today. Also a heat advisory. That's more to the north. The south of I-10 is supposed to be super. I mean, like, you're talking heat indexes in, like, 114 vicinity. So please be careful outside today if you have to go outside at all. Sheriff Bob Johnson joined us yesterday. We had a chance to talk to him. Sheriff, welcome back to the Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Good to have you. Hey, the first thing I wanted to do is I just wanted to follow up on a conversation you and I had last week. We were talking about the impending, on Monday, change in Florida law which allows permitless concealed carry. The short version is you have to have, if you are eligible to get a permit, you can now carry concealed, not open, okay, without actually getting that permit. That's the big change that happens on Monday. But you and I were talking, and your lawyer had a concern that the way the law is written, that if you had a, if you don't actually have a permit and you carry concealed on your person inside your vehicle, it sounds to your lawyer like this might actually be prohibited. And I had talked to Alex Andrade, who was one of the co-sponsors of the law. He said, no, it's not an ambiguous. It should be very easy. But you talked to your lawyer and?
Yeah, it's the first case on that. Whoever across the state of Florida, whatever agency arrests somebody on that, it's going to probably end up in the Supreme Court of Florida, I would think. Because it's relatively ambiguous. It she says that the law doesn't specifically state out that in your vehicle you're covered. And also, and it's more so of the concealing the weapon in the car. Like, let's say you have it right now. If you have, you don't have a concealed weapon permit and I pull you over and underneath the seat is a loaded 45 just sitting there, that's carrying a concealed firearm. You can be arrested for that.
Right.
If it's in a zippered pouch or a snapped holster, it's perfectly legal anywhere you want to put it in the car, glove box, wherever, it doesn't matter. But if it's not in plain view, then it's considered concealed. That's the thing we're really going to have to address when this law takes effect July 1st, because it doesn't, the law does not specify, hey, you're good to go in the car, put it wherever you want. It just says you can carry concealed on your person without a permit as of July 1st if you're eligible to get a permit.
Okay, well, we'll so that's and again, you know, what that does for you in your car is the ambiguous question.
Yes.
And, you know, I know what Alex has said, and I know what your lawyer is saying, and, it, you know, as is often the case, it might be it has to get adjudicated before we find out what the courts are going to say in the state of Florida.
Yeah, without a doubt.
So, which is not great. I don't want to have to be the first person, you know, and I certainly wouldn't want anybody to have to be that first person to figure that out. But thank you for clarifying all of that. And again, can't open carry. You know,
this
and I know a lot of people are thinking that it's open carry starting next Monday. It is not open carry starting next Monday.
No, it is not.
I did want to ask you just a quick follow up on the Nico Steakhouse investigation. Channel 3 had been reporting about, for example, this guy who was in and out of the back room who didn't actually work there but was dressed up as a teppanyaki chef. And it seems implausible to believe that that wasn't somehow connected to the events of the day. But you guys have talked to him and ruled him out as a suspect. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah, we have interviewed him. There's no indication that he had any access to any, you know, food while he was alone. He basically, from the time he went into the restaurant to the time that he left, there were employees around him. So it wasn't like they came in and said, hey, what are you doing back here? It was more of he comes in and there's a bunch of employees in the kitchen and they're like, what are you doing here? And then he turns around and leaves. So we don't believe he had any kind of ability or access to actually tamper with any food.
Okay. And the soy sauce testing positive, you what, ruled that out because the packets also tested positive or something, so you didn't trust the test?
Right, right. And there's a lot of things across the spectrum with a lot of different drugs that seem to be false positives. Back in the 90s when I was in narcotics, we had a problem with baby food, the powdered baby food testing positive for cocaine, certain types of it. And so we all, at first we thought, well, it's mixed in there with it. But no, it wasn't. It's just false positive. There's certain things that'll make a reagent test positive when there's nothing there.
On behalf of the community, can I just say thank you for not leading with the headline ever, baby food tests positive for cocaine.
yeah. And this was back in the 90s as well. So, yeah. You know, it's been a few years. But, yeah, it's strange. Those reagent tests, that's why they're called presumptive positive.
Gotcha.
It's not anything that you just do that and then, boom, you don't have to have it tested through FDLE labs. You can just put somebody in prison for it. I mean, it has to go through the entire testing process. So I'm just glad that the detective on scene, you know, was wary enough to say, look, that all this is testing positive. Let's open a packet and test it. And it's like, ooh, yeah, okay.
I will also say, I know there's a lot of different people listen to this show. I don't know how many criminals or would-be criminals listen to this show, but I do feel like probably at some point in the near future, one of your investigations is going to produce somebody who's like, oh, man, no, that's my baby food.
Well, you can try that, but when we send it off to FDLE, it's going to be hard to prove that. So.
Field test versus the forensic test, right? That's going to be good. You had one, or maybe it's two different cases, and I apologize for maybe getting them confused in my head a little bit, but you had one person who was shot and killed on Wallace Lake Road last week, Joseph Lieb, and where's this investigation? Because you did a press conference, and I had thought they were one case, but I think there may be two different cases. So anyway, what do we know about this case?
Yeah, basically, he was approached by two individuals, or actually one individual. One drove the other individual to. We believe they kind of flashed their lights to get him pulled over. He pulls over. They walk up to him. One of the guys walks up to him, shoots him, and he drives off and makes it a couple hundred yards and crashes into Woodline and unfortunately passed away. Mm-hmm. So we've arrested two suspects in that case. Both of them are from Escambia County. And why they were over here doing what they were doing, we don't know. They don't want to cooperate with law enforcement, which is a shocker. But anyways, so they've both been arrested, and hopefully we'll get some closure for the family.
And this, so it was one case. Okay, so that's where I got a little bit confused on the narrative. It was the investigation leading to the arrest of these people, and they were arrested in Escambia County with a lot of interagency cooperation, right?
Correct, yeah. All three agencies, PPD and Escambia as well, yeah.
And one of the things you were trying to sort of beat back was an online narrative that somehow this is gang-related, right? That was the thing you wanted to disavow.
You know, and we get a lot of those keyboard warriors. They pick up on something, and they want to, you know, just for some reason they want to instill fear in the public. And yeah, there was no gang connection whatsoever. The poor victim, he had zero gang affiliations. As far as I know, no criminal record. It just, by all accounts, a great kid. And this is how it ends up for him, which is horrific. But the two other guys, yeah, from what I understand, frequent flyers. This is nothing that surprised anybody over in Escambia County, but it was really terrible for the family over here.
It's been my perception that the more experienced criminals will sometimes travel across county lines or even state lines because they believe somehow that's going to offer them a layer of protection because those cops don't know me, or because once I cross state lines or something, they won't be able to come after me over here. Is that something that happens routinely?
It does, but we're trying to send a message here because I'll tell you right now, you know, when it comes to homicides, we drop everything and we focus on that until it's solved. And so far we're 8-0 this year. Unfortunately, we've had a lot of homicides, and I can't tell you why, but they're all coming in at, you know, the first part of the year. Usually we have 4 or 5 at the most, and we're at 8 right now. And I'll tell you, though, we're, like I said, our major crimes unit is 8-0. We've solved every single case. So that's a message to thugs and other counties around here. Yeah, you come here and you do something stupid, we're going to catch you and we're going to put you in jail. So hopefully that message has been sent, and we'll keep sending it as much as we need to, because obviously criminals are criminals for a reason. They're too stupid to get a regular job, so this is what they do for a living. And so it's kind of hard to send a message to somebody who's not bright enough to receive it, but hopefully we'll try.
And our cops, you might have a different uniform color based on where you are geographically, but they all cooperate. They all have interagency, interlocal agreements. And, you know, the idea that you can somehow evade just by crossing some boundary on a map somewhere, that does not pan out, right?
Yeah, you know, maybe back in the 1930s and 40s it did. But nowadays, you know, with all the ways, all the computer stuff we have, computer programs and the interagency cooperation and radios. Back when I started back in the early 90s, you know, our radios, we couldn't even talk to Escambia County. And now we have these radios now that I can be in Miami and I can switch to channel and speak to cops there. So, I mean, it's leaps and bounds above the way it used to be, and it's making it harder on criminals, which is the way it should be.
Well, Sheriff Bob Johnson, we super appreciate the time, the effort to keep us safe. Obviously, we appreciate that. Congratulations to your investigators on being 100% so far this year. Terrible to have so many, but good to have such good detectives that we can solve the cases. We'll talk to you again next week, sir.
All right, sounds good, Andrew. Thank you.
Most definitely. And by the way, I think in that interview once or twice I might have said Monday. I don't know. My brain was thinking about July 4th, and somehow I was thinking it was July 2nd. Anyway, Saturday. The laws change on Saturday. They don't change on Monday. So starting this Saturday is when you can have permitless concealed carry. Just as a matter of note, some of the advocates for this law are calling it constitutional carry. I don't think that's the right term for a variety of reasons, partially because I think the system we had before was constitutional, so I don't think that's really the right distinctive. But it's just because people are confused about the difference between permitless concealed carry and open carry, which is where you can see the gun on somebody's hip, and constitutional carry slops over those distinctions, and the advocates of open carry will sometimes call it constitutional carry. Anyway, I will continue to call it permitless concealed carry, and you'll hear me use those words, but you won't hear me call it constitutional carry, even though that's kind of been the verbiage a lot of news organizations have adopted. 549 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about selling or buying a home, Christina Leavenworth is great at this, like really, really good. Like 230 homes sold last year, you know, about 200 sold the year before. It's kind of amazing, that many. But what that does is that produces in her brain what you want, which is an expertise that is sort of innate. Like, she will look at your home and say, okay, I'll tell you what, this shrub right here, that one's going to give you trouble. Why don't we take that one out? Or, you know, you might be thinking about, you know, I've been thinking about removing this shrub. She's like, no, leave that one. That one's a good one. Like, she knows when looking at your home what people are going to find appealing and unappealing, and whether it's a color inside or, you know, anything like that, these kinds of cosmetic changes or not can make a big difference, thousands of dollars for you in the sale price of the home. And, I mean, that's little stuff, but what I'm telling you is she knows that stuff, and they're willing to do whatever is necessary. I mean, even cases where, like, the night before a closing, getting in and repairing the drywall and painting it just because there are nail holes. I mean, dumb stuff like that. I know she's told me lots of different stories over the years about all the things that she does to get the sale done and to get it done properly. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinky Realty, fantastic assets to have on your side. 723-9158.
This Friday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel, join Mike Dyson, the owner of Anytime Fitness on North 9th Avenue, to learn how you can have a gym membership that fits your life. From convenience, training, and tools, community, and support, Anytime Fitness is here to help you meet your fitness goals. The friendly staff will help you get started with a customized plan. Listen Friday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 reminds you that hurricane season is underway. Forecasters are predicting another above normal year for storms. And the Generator Guys are your local generator provider. Are you prepared? Don't be caught without power for days or even weeks. When the storm hits, you should be 1 week ready. And the News Radio 92.3 crew will be live and local with storm coverage on your radio, on your phone, and online. News Radio 92.3 and the Generator Guys are there for you.
Sometimes a family needs a little help to deal with life stresses. You can contribute to happy, healthy childhoods with a few simple steps. Notice families under stress. Offer a helping hand. Give your time. Talk about healthy child development. Connect a family with resources. Contributing to a great childhood can be as easy as being a good neighbor. For more, PreventChildAbuseFL.org. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, is every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy sunsets with your favorite bands. This week, it's Mass Confusion. They'll take the stage with classic rock, Motown, smooth jazz, funk, country, and oldies in a style all their own. Grab a blanket or a lawn chair, but please, no pets or glass. And we'll see you at Bands on the Beach this Tuesday at 7.
News Radio Pensacola. A great blend of information from local government authorities, local news, businesses, and provocative discussions with great hosts.
Mission.
Vaguely like I just got a giant knife stabbed into a table by my head. And just oddly, that's kind of what it feels like.
Because of me? I bring that out, guys.
5:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, Rambo. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Russian President Vladimir Putin says the march on Moscow by the mercenary soldiers was criminal activity. He addressed Russia yesterday just after the head of Wagner Group turned around his troops after reportedly agreeing to that deal. Investors are going to be looking for a turnaround today. There was a big stock fall yesterday on Wall Street at the closing bell. The Dow had lost 12 points to end at 33,714. And a deadline for Hollywood actors and studios to get a deal done looming over the entertainment world this week. SAG-AFTRA's contract with studios expires on Friday. Over the weekend, the union told members that negotiations with the studios had been productive, but an actor's strike would come as they're also dealing with that writer's strike right now.
All right, David. Thanks so much for the update. 5:54 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. What else do we have going on here? Oh, the Triumph Board had their meeting last Thursday and did a couple of things that are relevant to our area. The first one had to do with American Magic.
The next item is a request for approval of a term sheet for project number 315, known as American Magic. This is a proposed grant award agreement in the amount of $8,500,000, the grantee being the city of Pensacola. This is for improvements at the Port of Pensacola to support the operations of the American Magic racing team, and this term sheet is consistent with the terms that were discussed and approved at the last board meeting.
Yeah, so this was the way I understand the Triumph process, which I will fully confess is a bit, convoluted for my taste, but I believe it's basically three steps. You have the initial agreement, then you have the term sheet, which is the actual details of the agreement, and then you have the final approval. So this is step two of three. This is the term sheet approval. Erica Garin-Cagnolo with the city.
Thank you for your support of this project. We've thoroughly reviewed the term sheet. We have no concerns. Since our last meeting, we received a Governor's Job Growth Grant Fund award, so our match funding is fully in place. And I can tell you that American Magic is anxiously awaiting a text from Barcelona today to know that this project is moving forward. So thank you for your support.
Very cool. So that's headed in the right direction. You also had another program that I guess I didn't realize was happening, but this was in the step one of three. This was something that David Baer and Rick Harper, economist and UWF expert and advisor Rick Harper is like the economist to the stars in Florida. Like, all the politicians use him and refer to him.
Next item is economic advisors report. Dr. Harper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Today we have proposal number 293, the UWF Nursing and Respiratory Therapy Program Expansion.
Yeah, this is really cool. They're going to basically invest in creating some alternate ways of getting nursing degrees and medical assistant kind of degrees, and basically build us more nurses in this area, something that we are facing a huge shortage of in Florida and across the nation.
The scoring has remained roughly unchanged. We see now that the cost of Triumph per certification has decreased from the previous $6,925 per cert down to $5,943 per cert. That leads to a discounted total increase in household incomes expected from the program of $14.1 per dollar of Triumph cost, as opposed to last month's iteration of $12.1.
What he's explaining there is the ratio of return on investment to the money spent or invested by Triumph Gulf Coast. And it had been 12-1 in the prior version of the application, and they upped it now to 14-1. So it's an even better deal. Triumph staff scored it a B, and they went ahead and proved it. And basically, we're talking about 200 registered nurses, 135 medical lab scientists, and 40 respiratory therapists, and 750 CNAs that are going to accomplish over the next 8 years by the expansion of this program. So this is really good news. This is a big deal for not just UWF, but for like our area in general, because, you know, building the staff of the future, like making sure, you know, you don't automatically have nurses. Nurses don't just magically appear. Poof, there's 200 nurses. You know, somebody's got to train them. Somebody's got to recruit them. Somebody's got to make sure that they're eager to do this. And one of the notes about this, it was kind of fascinating. I didn't catch this lady's name on the board. I'm not even sure if she's a voting board member or one of the staff, but she made an observation that I thought was vital to this.
I just wanted to point out the importance of these types of projects now, because Triumph funding will help move our region ahead of the rest of the state, because the governor did veto multiple nursing funding projects across the state. So this will help us move more to the forefront in doing these types of training activities.
So even as other programs trying to be expanded across the state or stood up that would do this same kind of thing, got vetoed in the budget because Triumph is a completely separate source of money coming from the oil spill. It's able to be approved and put forward as a way to expand here locally what UWF is doing to create a pipeline for nurses and other medical fields. So this is really good news. This is in step one of the three. Again, the term sheet has to come and the final agreement has to come. But it was unanimous, the vote. So there's no expectation that there would be anything but yes going forward. And again, you know, several hundred, actually more than 1,000 of these people.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.